Next case this morning is case number 57584, City of Reno versus Public Utilities Commission of Nevada. Mr. Shipman, Mr. Shuba, and Mr. Pinjev. Mr. Shipman.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, for the record, Jonathan Shipman, Deputy City Attorney with the City of Reno. We're here on a matter, City of Reno versus the PUC in Newmont. Let me give you a quick factual background on what happened, a real quick snippet. Back in 2007, there was going to be a transmission line that was going to be located. The Tracy transmission line was being built by Sierra Pacific, now Nevada Electricity Energy. As part of that construction, it was going to go through Washoe County, and it went through actually all three of the municipal jurisdictions there. It went through the unincorporated portion of the county, it went through the City of Sparks, and it went through the City of Reno. As far as the City of Sparks and the City of Reno is concerned, when it went through those jurisdictions, the city councils in both cases permitted the construction, and it was allowed to be above the ground. In Washoe County, in the unincorporated area, Calle de Plata, the Washoe County Commission actually required that the line be undergrounded. And there was significant discussion at the PUC hearing about what the purpose of that was, whether it was for safety. There were county commissioners who provided that testimony, or whether it was for aesthetic, you know, to protect the view sheds of ratepayers who are currently in the area. From that, there was an order that was issued by the PUC, and that's what we're here today about. That was had a certain findings, had certain conclusions that we're going to talk about. And as a result of that order, the city appealed along with Washoe County, went to district court. In the district court level, the city lost at that level, and then here we are today.
Mr. Shipman, does the determination by the PUC that the purpose for undergrounding these lines in Calle de la Plata, or whatever you call that,
right, yeah.
was for safety or aesthetic reasons make any difference to your argument?
Well, I think potentially it makes a difference in the broader scope about who should pay from the standpoint. If it was truly for a safety purpose, then that would be something that the entire rate base should pay for, because it protects not only those residents but everybody. If it was for an aesthetic purpose, I think, you know, the precedents in the case law talk about that. That's probably more localized to the area, and that would be something that, you know, you'd be looking at. People within the view shed would be probably looking at paying for that.
So then does the record support the conclusion, if there is a conclusion? I'm not sure that the POC actually concludes that the installation underground was for safety reasons, but it does arguably make that conclusion or that finding. Is that supported by substantial evidence in the record when, according to the Lopez testimony and attachments, the purpose in the minutes of the county commission was aesthetic?
So if I understand the question, did they come to a conclusion on that? I do not believe they said if it was for aesthetic or if it was for safety, whichever, it was a localized effect, and I could be corrected on that. But
well, in paragraph 383 of their findings, there's a reference to the fact that staff argued that it was purely for aesthetic reasons.
Correct.
But I believe that ultimately the PUC said, and I'm looking for the finding right now, that it was for safety and aesthetic purposes.
Correct.
I think it's at
Four oh one. Yes.
So I guess with respect to your first argument, does safety versus aesthetic make a difference? Are you contending on appeal that the court should require the PUC to revisit this question because the issue of safety isn't supported by substantial evidence in the record?
Well, you know, I think the city recognizes the position that we're in and the position of the court. I don't believe the court's in the position to be able to say what it is or what it is not. You know, our position is that as the order is applied, and we can go through the various tenets of the order, as it is applied to City Reno and ratepayers within the jurisdiction in the City of Reno, that is, it's overbroad and it's unreasonable given what the impact of that order is currently written on the City of Reno. And it has a couple implications. It effectuates, you know, essentially the county being able to, through the PUC, implementing almost what I'd call a countywide tax for these view sheds in the unincorporated area, you know, and from the city's perspective, and that kind of impinges on the city's land use powers. I mean, the city, in fact, did grant the permit, did allow the overhead, and now the ratepayers of the city are being required to pay for that. Again, and I think it's a misunderstanding or not a misunderstanding, the PUC didn't take into account really the land use jurisdiction of the county and where that started and where that stopped, ultimately right at the city line.
Other than a land use ordinance or statute, presumably statute, what would be the legal basis for the PUC to allocate costs between citizens of the city of Reno and Sparks, who are also citizens of Washoe County, and citizens in the unincorporated areas of Washoe County?
That would be up to them. I mean, they have plenary authority to make that decision.
Just on the reasonable and necessary.
Reasonable and necessary. And that's exactly. And that's, I mean, that's our argument. Our argument really is essentially, when you look at the order and when you look at the basis of their order, what they said was, you know, cost causers should pay. Was the city a cost causer? No. Did it have the ability to be a cost causer? Well, within the context of the corporate area of the city, certainly not in the unincorporated area.
But aren't residents of the city of Reno just bound as equally by good or bad decisions by county commissioners as members of the unincorporated area?
Yeah, and that's been an argument throughout. And, you know, their unreasonableness, or the part of it that gives us that's problematic is, you know, residential ratepayers, I would granted vote for the county commission. The same necessarily can't be said for commercial or industrial users. I mean, to the extent these are businesses, to the extent these are corporations, they don't have the right to vote or the right to franchise that, say, a residential ratepayer does. And where that becomes an issue is, well, if the commercial base and the industrial base can't vote on this, but then if the rate itself is designed in a way that it's based upon kilowatt-hour usage, so a resident's paying, as the record showed, 40 cents on average across the county, whereas a casino could be paying on the order of $2,600 per month. So you've got the issue of, does that casino have representation? Did they vote for or against, you know, the county commission? I think the answer there is no. That's part of the issue. And do you give them a pass because they don't have the right to vote? If the PUC's decision is based upon the fact that you have political representation, well, if, you know, arguably two-thirds, without breaking it down, of the rate base does not have that political representation in that way, should they not have to pay that tax?
Well, at the end of the day, it appears as though the PUC accepted Sierra's suggestion of a CIAC, a construction in aid or a cost native construction. What was wrong with determination by the PUC?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
What was wrong with the PUC's determination in finding 397, accepting Sierra's suggestion that this be treated as a contribution in aid of construction? to resolve these competing equitable differences as you've identified them, what's wrong with the PUC accepting Sierra's suggestion that it be handled as a CIAC?
A CIAC, I'm sorry, I'm trying to be...
A contribution in aid of construction, as articulated in Finding 395 and adopted in 397.
That I don't have an answer right off the top of my head, Your Honor. I apologize for that. I think the city's position again is, you know, this is a case of first impression here. And that's where it really, my client has an issue with that as well. This is not something, we've seen it in other types of cases that are maybe not totally synonymous where, you know, for instance, Newmont needs new electricity, they need to bring in a line, you know, there's generalized rate principles. We haven't seen this in Nevada, this specific factual scenario where you can have actually the county make a land use decision for its residents in that area that impacts city residents, you know, in their pocketbooks. And, in fact, disproportionately, since 70% of the population is there compared to what's in the county. That is part of what's driving this whole thing, is that whatever we decide here today, whatever the court decides here today, is going to set the stage for how these are going to be resolved in the future. And my client is concerned that, you know, between the county and the PUC willingly, that's where the fight was, but the effect is it has collateral damages on city and city residents. And again, based upon the reasoning in the order, the fact that who bears the benefit, it's not city residents at all. I mean, who caused the problem? It's not city, and it's not city residents at all. It's not the casinos, it's not the commercial, it's not the industrial. But all of these people are picking up the cost that at the end of the day, you know, is because the county potentially wanted to protect the view sheds of some residents up there. And I'm not saying they are or they didn't. I mean, I think that's a question in the, you know.
Well, I appreciate your argument, but I suspect that the residents of Cold Springs could make the same argument whatever it was, 5 or 8 mile stretch of undergrounding this line didn't benefit them either.
And you hit it on the head, Your Honor, because that is the city's point. We are in the same position as those residents are, the city residents are. And so if you're going to draw a line, you have to have a reason to say which side of the line a person is on. And based upon what is in the record, you know, who caused them, based upon the rules the PUC put in place, who caused the problem, who's getting the benefit of the problem, we're on the other side of the line. We're on the line of Cold Springs. We're on the side of the line of France. We're on the side of the line of Elko County. And that's really where the frustration is. You know, the argument back is always, well, there's always going to be winners and losers in rate making, and there's never going to be a perfect solution. Granted, but when you draw those lines, they have to have some relation to reality. They have to have, you have to be able to say we're putting somebody on this side of the line because of X. You can't just say, well, there's going to be winners and losers. Because then why even have the exercise? What are we here today for? Because then there's no reason to have it reviewed at all. So that's again, I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time, 1 minute for... Thank you, Your Honors.
May it please the Court, Jordan Pinyev on behalf of the Commission, and I'll be saving a few minutes for Mr. Shuba as well.
Mr. Pinyev, I'm sorry, I called you Mr. Shuba.
That's okay.
Pinyev.
First of all, I'd just like to reply to a couple of comments that were made by counsel on the other side here. He said that there was a need to draw a line in a manner that was tied to reality, and then he said that France and Elko County were on the other side of the line, as was the city of Reno. I'd just like to point out that the city of Reno is within the county of Washoe, whereas France and Elko are clearly not within Washoe County. I think that that is the line that the commission drew, and that it was a reasonable line based on a concept of political representation. And then a second thing that I'd like to point out is that Council for Reno says this was a case of first impression, but I'd like to point out that it was not a case of last impression. There was a 2010 Sierra rate case in which actually the second portion of this line was allocated, and it was allocated in much the same manner as it was in this case. And the city of Reno failed to intervene in that case, did not provide any evidence in that case, and has no right to appeal in that case. So that is just one more thing to point out. Now, turning to...
Hey, Council, that's all well and good, but where in the PUC's order did it address the city's argument that this cost should be allocated differently than suggested here? It appears as though Mr. Shipman did a pretty thorough cross-examination of Mr. Lopez and raised the allocation question, but I don't see in the PUC's findings any discussion of the city's position. Did it?
Mr. Shipman did cross-examine a witness, but Mr. Shipman didn't present an actual witness on point to present an affirmative position of the city of Reno in this case. And because the commission has to base its decisions on the substantial evidence in the record, there wasn't enough on the record to actually thoroughly vet a position by the city of Reno to allocate just to the unincorporated portions of Washoe County. There was no witness on the record that said what the actual results of allocating to only unincorporated Washoe County ratepayers would be. We don't know on the record what the actual cost would be to the unincorporated Washoe County ratepayers because we don't have a witness or any evidence to back up that sort of an allocation. So really with the evidence that was presented at hearing, the commission didn't have an opportunity to vet that. And then also, when you get to the point of the petition for reconsideration stage, the city of Reno completely failed to present this issue in its petition for reconsideration to the commission. Their petition for reconsideration was a two-line joinder in Washoe County's petition for reconsideration, which never brought up the issue of allocating the cost to unincorporated Washoe County. In fact, it was just the opposite. Their main argument, which they did present witnesses for, was to allocate to all Sierra Pacific ratepayers. So I would say that
well,
position
on
was
that
never...
point, I have another question for you. I'm confused. In conclusion 401, the commission seems to be saying that the underground portions were for safety reasons. If that was their conclusion, why wouldn't the allocation have been spread among all ratepayers?
Well, I read that paragraph to say that there were safety and aesthetic concerns that were presented at the hearing. I don't think the commission made a real direct determination as to what the main cause of the undergrounding was in the case. Because
in the absence of that, how could they use the causal basis for assigning the cost to Washoe County?
Well, I think the causal basis is still that Washoe County was the entity that that ordered the undergrounding, and that's the key. They're still the cost causers no matter what, whether it was aesthetic or safety reasons. Washoe County was the entity that made that undergrounding happen.
So your argument is that even if it was for safety reasons, you would focus on the cost causer. I thought the cost causer rule didn't apply if it was safety for the system.
Well, if it was truly for safety reasons, it was all for safety reasons, then certainly there could be an argument there that traditionally the cost would be allocated to all Sierra Pacific ratepayers. It wouldn't actually go to the cost causer. It would be allocated to the whole system.
So why doesn't the PUC resolve that question? It was pretty thoroughly discussed.
I think the key was that there were aesthetic reasons for undergrounding this line, and that we couldn't actually come to a determination that was fully for safety reasons. Because, I mean, on one hand, we only had two commissioners there from the Washoe County, so we don't know what was in the minds of the other three commissioners as they were voting.
Well, you had the minutes of the Planning Commission and the County Commission through Lopez, which said that it was for aesthetic reasons.
That's correct, and that's one of the reasons why that it was appropriate to actually assign those costs to the cost causer, because there was information in the record there that it was based at least partially on aesthetic reasons. I mean, that is clear from the record that there was a partial reliance on the aesthetic purposes. All right, now turning to I think is the central substantive issue in this case, though, is whether a reasonable mind, with the evidence presented to the commission at hearing, could have rationally decided to allocate the undergrounding costs of the Washoe County ratepayers on the basis that those ratepayers are represented by Washoe County, the entity that ordered the undergrounding. As we've already gone through, the commission has plenary authority over rate making in Nevada, over public utilities, and the basis for that is that there are innumerable ways in any rate case proceeding to allocate the cost. Rate making is not a perfect science, and there will be winners and losers in any sort of cost allocation, but the commission's job is to take the facts of hearing, to balance those facts, and establish rates that are just and reasonable. Now, it need not be the only just and reasonable results, and in fact, it might be one of many just and reasonable results. And the commission's decision need not be the most just and reasonable result in this court's mind. Instead, it only need to be a just and reasonable result based upon the substantial evidence in the record. I would submit that based on the evidence that we had in this record, that this order of the commission was the most just and reasonable result based on that evidence and the principle that the cost causer pays for the cost that they impose upon the system. However, to affirm the decision of the commission.
Could you comment on your opposing colleague's argument, though, that a great number of the ratepayers in Reno are not politically represented on the county?
Right. Well, I would say that the Washoe County Commission represents all interests in the county of Washoe, not just the interests of the actual voters, but of the business as well. And I would also say that taking that logic to its end, that the commission could never allocate costs to any political jurisdiction, because there's no jurisdiction in which commercial and industrial users have a right to actually vote. And then I guess the third thing I would say about that is that we actually had a group of Northern Nevada industrial electric users in this case. They were actually represented in the case, and it included users from the city of Reno, and they were there to represent themselves, and they did not appeal this case. So I think that they were adequately represented in all stages, both at the commission and at the Washoe County Commission level. Now, the principle of the cost customer pays was a fundamental basis for this decision. The facts are that Washoe County ordered the undergrounding, that they represent the jurisdictional interests in Reno and Sparks in addition to the unincorporated Washoe County, and in executing their duties, even their land use planning duties, they can't separate the interest of the unincorporated Washoe County interests from the interest of the ratepayers in Reno and Sparks. They represent the entire county and are critically answerable to the voters throughout the entire county. The city of Reno's argument seems to misunderstand the application of the cost causer pays principle. The order does not rely on the premise that Washoe County has land use planning authority over the incorporated portions of Reno. The order says that Washoe County is the jurisdiction that ordered the undergrounding, which is undisputed. Reno's suggestion that the order was based on the land use planning authority is contrary to the record and the order. I would point to volume 3 of the joint appendix, 460 to 462, which clearly indicates, and that's the testimony of Mr. Lopez, which clearly indicates that the proposal is based on the fact that Washoe County represents all ratepayers in Washoe County. The Washoe County Commission represents all ratepayers, not that it has land use planning authority. Now, procedurally, I think we've been through this a little bit already, but I did want to bring up just again the issue that Reno did fail to present any testimony on their option of allocating to the unincorporated Washoe County ratepayers at the hearing. And they also, as I went through before, they failed to present a petition for reconsideration on this point as well. They just had that two-line joinder in Washoe County's reconsideration, which did not touch the subject at all of allocating these incremental undergrounding costs to the ratepayers in unincorporated Washoe County. Secondly, I'd like to touch on the point of standing. In this case, Reno was granted leave to intervene in the commission's case on the basis of that it would affect their police powers. And all the arguments up to this point, except for briefly when counsel mentioned it in his oral arguments, but his arguments in the brief have been based on the fact that there are alleged inequities to the city of Reno ratepayers. Reno doesn't represent Reno ratepayers, as it concedes in its brief, so it doesn't have standing to pursue this argument on their behalf. And as I brought up once before, there was a group of industrial ratepayers that included industrial ratepayers in Reno, that participated in this case and did not appeal the commission's decision. And then third, from a practical standpoint, I'd just like to point out that there was an advice letter filed by Sierra Pacific early this year, which said that the surcharge that is at issue in this case was terminated on February 1st, 2012. And that's because the costs had actually been fully collected at that point. So the request to set aside the commission's decision at this point is somewhat moot, because there's no costs that are going to be collected going forward. If the city were to request a refund at this point, that will bring up new issues with inequities. It's going to be difficult to actually identify the parties that are going to get the refund and that are going to have to be charged for the refund.
Have you made that part of the record on this appeal, your suggestion of mootness currently?
No, I mean, it just came up in the past couple weeks here, so it wasn't filed in time for our briefs.
But if the case has become moot, you should submit that information to us. We can't contemplate issues that aren't before us.
Okay. Just returning to the kind of the practical issues really quickly, I just point out again that it's partially because of the fact that Reno failed to actively pursue this case at the district court level. It took about 2 years from the date of the denial of the preliminary injunction in district court until the district court actually issued an order in this case. And that's despite the fact that the commission dockets receive priority over other civil cases pursuant to the NRS. So in summary, I would just say that the city of Reno's argument is substantively defective, it's without factual support, and it's practically unworkable. And I would ask that you affirm. And I'll give the rest of my time to Mr. Schuba.
May it please the court, my name is Tim Schuba. I'm here representing Newmont Mining Corporation. Newmont Mining Corporation was a participant in the proceeding below. We are a very large industrial/commercial ratepayer in the counties of Elko and Eureka, and we consider ourselves to be very well represented by the local officials in Elko and Eureka County. We do not feel ourselves to be well represented by the county commissioners of Washoe County, and that is the difference between Newmont on the one hand and ratepayers in Elko and Eureka counties, and ratepayers in Washoe County who are represented by the County Commission of Washoe. It's not a question of whether the city of Reno caused the charges. The PUC did not assign any cost to the city of Reno. It assigned the cost to ratepayers in Washoe County, whether they are in Reno or in Sparks or in Gerlach or all on the Cayada Playa. They are the people who are represented, both commercial, industrial, and residential. Justice Hardesty, you raised the question about whether there needed to be a finding of whether this was for safety or for aesthetics, whether the undergrounding was caused by one or the other. The commission, frankly, delicately danced around the question because the record before the county commission made it very clear that it was for aesthetic purposes. Two county commissioners, on the other hand, testified that whatever they said, the county level, they are now saying that they voted for safety reasons. Nobody wants to get into trying to resolve that dispute. The commission rightly stated,
well, shouldn't the PUC resolve that? It seems as though the records of the county commission and the planning commission are at odds and do not support the testimony of the county commissioners as to the reasons for this undergrounding.
They didn't have to, and the reason is that, for example, in the second phase of this line where some undergrounding was caused by the county again, some undergrounding was caused by the Federal Aviation Administration just north of the Silver Spring Airport. Those costs were allocated system-wide. They were not ordered by a local jurisdiction for its own localized safety concerns. What the commission found was, whether it's for aesthetics or safety, it was localized. There was no Nevada Department of Transportation that said you can't hang a line right over the highway like that. It's got to be either higher or under. It's not like the FAA. It's not a system-wide benefit. This was a localized concern They had a concern that because some little wooden distribution poles had fallen over, well, actually one fell over.
Well, actually, I understood the record to say that the, from Sierra, that undergrounding this was the opposite.
There
it actually created jeopardy.
There was testimony
because
that
of the ability to access and repair the line.
Reflected in the commission's order that actually electricity and water are not such a good thing together, and that maybe it would be better to get it up out of the water. But they didn't decide on that basis. The commission decided, look, for whatever reason, you said it was aesthetics the first time. Now you're saying it's safety. Fine. You did it for your own localized concerns, either so the residents wouldn't see it or so they could get out of Dodge without falling poles if there was a flood again. This isn't for the system. This is for the residents of Washoe County, and so that's where the cost
is. I guess Newmont's position is that to the extent that they mention safety reasons in 401, that really isn't supported by the record, that it was for aesthetic reasons.
Newmont really doesn't take a position on that, that for whatever reason, these were localized concerns. And personally, I wasn't convinced by the testimony of the county commissioners. There were only two of the five there anyway. We have no testimony about what the other three were thinking. The majority, it only had to be a majority vote. So it wasn't really the critical issue. The critical issue was, who caused this? Was this a system-wide kind of thing, the federal government, state government, saying, no, for safety reasons of the general public, we're requiring this? No, this was for the specific safety reasons of particular residents. If it was for safety, it was for the aesthetic purposes and benefits of particular residents. If it was for aesthetics, whichever. It was for the residents in Washoe County. That's why the Washoe County Commission ordered it. They didn't order it for safety of Elko.
Well, I understand that, but you started off by pointing out that the costs in Phase 2 for the undergrounding caused by the FAA would appear to have been for safety reasons localized to Washoe County. That wouldn't be of benefit to Elko either.
It's a little different when it's an airport or a highway where there's going to be a lot of interstate and certainly intrastate across the state traffic. That's really a little different than when you're talking about a small road that's really only used by the county residents for the most part. Residents of Reno are certainly more likely to be driving down the Calle de la Plata than residents of Elko County are.
Well, I doubt there's very many Elko residents that are flying into the North Springs Airport either. But thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let me give you an extra minute. Let's go to 210.
Thank you, Your Honors. The only clarification I want to make is that the city's position was not in the proceeding in front of the PUC or even here today that the costs need to be allocated to the residents in the unincorporated portion of the county. That, I mean, that was in the briefs of the PUC. That, as a proposal from the city, that is not the proposal. The city's proposal, as it's been from the start, has been consistent. Don't make city residents pay for something that is in the county.